Book of Genesis, in chapter 32. Genesis, chapter 32. And let us consider again, verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." We were trying to consider this verse on Sabbath morning, and we would seek with the Lord's help to consider a few further points in relation to this incident in the life of Jacob, who was on his way back from Paddan Aram, where he had fled because of Esau and the danger he felt he was in from a threat that Esau had made. It was Jacob, of course, that was in the wrong as far as what lay behind that threat was concerned. He had deceived his father and he stolen the blessing. But 20 years later, he is directed by the Lord to return home. And when he gets information that Esau is not far away, he is obviously afraid. And the Lord, in his mercy, he sends the one described as a man, described as an angel, described as God, sends the one whom we concluded from the evidence that he was Christ himself, the Son of God, taking on a temporary basis a human nature. And he was not killed, was Jacob, though he came into contact with God. And what we have to conclude from that is that here was the mediator. God coming where Jacob was by way of the mediator. And that's where the safety came from. And perhaps we can just make the point just now that we must go into the presence of God in a particular way when we leave this world. And how can we safely come into the presence of God? And the obvious answer, it should be obvious anyway, the answer is we must come in the name of the mediator. We must be brought near to God while we're in this life through the mediator, the one who died for sinners and who rose again. It's a very solemn matter to pass into the eternal world and to come into the immediate presence of God. A very solemn matter. But Jacob was safe in his dealings with the one who met with him here, because this one was the mediator. And we will be safe in passing into eternity if we become livingly united to Christ. If we obey the call of the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But here is David. Sorry. Here is Jacob. And he is seeking a blessing. The particular blessing is that he would be delivered from Esau. And the Lord answered him in that. What encouragement. It might, in a sense, be made little of, because it's something that happened long ago, but it's something that was significant enough to be recorded in Scripture. But surely we should take encouragement to pray to the Lord, whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in, whatever reason we might have to feel afraid of what seems to lie immediately before us. And the Lord put a restraint on Esau. Jacob got the blessing that he was asking for, and who knows? Perhaps Jacob's desire was much, much wider than that immediate matter that was causing him such fear. Now, that's what we should all be asking for a blessing. Now, we don't deserve it. That should be clear. What we should be asking for is mercy. And when the publican was coming before the Lord, coming in an outward way, close to where God was, because God was revealing himself in the temple. And there was that great revelation at the temple of the mercy of God through sacrifice. There was the publican, conscious of his sin, and what he has to say is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, can we not say that that should be at the beginning of asking a blessing from God? It's not, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That's not the first thing. Yes, there are things to be asked of God as a blessing, what we don't deserve. But we're to begin with the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first, in the first place. That's the most important thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so, the prayer of the publican, you see, it's God, be merciful. Give me that blessing of mercy. And whatever it is that he would be asking for, it's mercy. And that's how it should be with us. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve it. But it's mercy I'm asking for, because I need mercy. I cannot earn salvation. Now, we should be very clear about that. And whatever people may think, in terms of earning salvation, and perhaps after many a year of hearing sound preach, there are people, I can leave out the perhaps, there are people who think that for particular things that they are doing, they are bound to have God's blessing. Oh, may the Lord teach us our need of blessings as mercies. In other words, undeserved, what we don't deserve. It would be good for us in particular to learn our need of mercy. Now, as I'm pretty sure I mentioned on Sabbath, Jacob had learned that when he was saying before the Lord, that he did not deserve anything. And that should be our confession. We're to ask for a blessing, whatever it is. And that's what the Saviour was teaching us, to pray in particular for daily bread. Something that must be renewed in one degree or another every day. Though that's all the Saviour referred to in connection with temporal matters. It's more of an example than anything else. It's not intended to be a complete list of the blessings that we need, but it's a major, prominent example. But whatever blessing it is, it's a mercy. It's what we don't deserve, and especially our salvation. That's mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's God's kindness to lost sinners. It's a mercy, an undeserved mercy to those who are in need. Now, you see, we're to come back and back again. Supposing we have obtained mercy, we're to come back again and again for further blessing, spiritual blessing just now. And you see, that's what we're directed to do at the very end of Peter's second epistle. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, it's not the end of the matter when a sinner has found Christ, when a sinner has been born again, when the work of the Holy Spirit has begun in that person's soul. That's not the end of anything. But it's certainly not the end of the work of grace in the soul. It might be the end of a particular stage, but there's to be progress made. Grow in grace, grow in faith, grow in love, grow in zeal, and you can go on. Now, it might seem that when you think of that, it's an impossible command. And you might say that the command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is an impossible command for any sinner to obey in their own strength. Well, all the more reason for wrestling with the Lord and saying, I will not let thee go except thou bless. Does it seem to be going too far? Well, it's recorded here without anything by way of correction. Jacob was right in what he did. Jacob got the blessing. But you see, if he persevered in prayer as we are to persevere in prayer, then it wasn't from his own strength that perseverance came. It's by grace. And when it comes to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of faith must come from above. That's not giving us permission to lie back as if there was no obligation resting on us. Now there's a mystery there. A mystery. What we cannot put together. And I think I've referred to that on at least one occasion already. But whatever is addressed to us by way of command It leaves us under a responsibility. A responsibility to believe and to go on believing. And where does that leave us? Oh, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And as far as the matter of growing in grace is concerned, where does that leave us? It leaves us here. I will not let thee go except thou bless. And we can ask it to get grace, to speak in that way, in a believing way. Yes. Now, again, let me just say, there are things there that we cannot put together. And that's because our minds are limited. But God, in infinite wisdom, is putting these things together. He's bringing these things before us because he understands. Now, is that not a great matter? When there is responsibility laid upon us, and when our unbelief and our inability is brought into consideration also, and we cannot get our heads round these things. Our minds are too small to keep these two ideas together. And yet, the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, has revealed these things, and we're to submit even where we can, when we cannot understand. We are to submit to what God is telling us, even when we cannot understand. Well, you see, there's a blessing. And there's a great area of blessing for the people of God. They've been brought into the kingdom. They've been given the beginnings of grace. But they need to grow in grace. And without elaborating on the matter just now, you will notice how closely connected growing in knowledge and growing in grace are. We can't expect to grow in grace if we're not taking steps to grow in knowledge. And again, that comes into it too. I will not let thee go except thou bless. To bless our reading of the scriptures and whatever else of profitable reading we might engage. You see, the blessing we need is that we would learn through the truth being applied to our souls by the Holy Spirit. And in relation to that, that there would be a blessing in connection with growing in grace. And they're both there to bring before the Lord in prayer. Yes. Then we just draw your attention to the parable that the Savior introduced with these words, or at least it may be the gospel writer Luke who adds this. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now it would have been very easy for Jacob to have fainted. In other words, to have lost his earnestness, to have given up as if this was something too much for him, for Jacob to wrestle with the angel. That was a great matter. He wasn't fit for it, was he? And that might be the fear of those who feel their duty to pray. And they cannot but pray to some extent. But how far dare they go? Well, here's your example. I will not let thee go except thou bless. Now that wasn't bravado or anything like that. There was faith there. And of course that's one blessing that we need to pray for. Not just the beginning of faith, but growth in that grace, that we would have a particular exercise of faith on particular occasions, in particular times of need. We can remind ourselves again of that encouragement to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And here was Jake, and he rests. He's earnest. Now, of course, there's something symbolic about what Jacob was doing. It was no doubt, even for Jacob himself, a symbol of seeking spiritual blessings. But as far as we are concerned, we'll never be in Jacob's exact situation where we would have a revelation of an angel. When Christ would come in this way, that will never happen. Not in this way. He will come again the second time at the end of the world, but that's different, for this was something temporary. This meeting with Jacob and wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob getting strength and grace to wrestle for a blessing. There may be much in it that we cannot understand, and I'm sure that's true. But let us learn what we can by God's grace. Oh, if we would even wrestle for a blessing with the Lord this evening. A blessing. Well, you have that in Isaiah. Give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Give him no rest. But perhaps I should have mentioned when I referred to the parable that I meant, and I'm sure many of you recognize that, was the one what was said about the one who is described as the importunate widow who wouldn't give up and are pleased to the unjust judge. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him? Yes. He hears the cry of sinners. And they're not to give up. There may be things in the matters of this world that they ought to conclude, this is not for me. But as far as spiritual things are concerned, and what I want to go on to particularly for a few moments just now, the cause of Christ. We're not to give up our prayers in these matters for ourselves and others. But in connection with the cause of Christ, there's this great matter that should be a great matter of desire, making Jerusalem, the Church of God, a praise in the earth. Give him no rest, is what we're told. Jacob gave the angel no rest. Didn't stop wrestling. He wanted the blessing. Now you see, that was a great matter as far as Jacob himself was concerned, to get a blessing. A blessing from God. And we should have that mind also. But as far as the Church of Christ is concerned, that's should be a great matter with us. And in that way it is that I want to apply what we had in Luke chapter 24 about the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And though they didn't realize that it was Jesus they had with, still, when they got as far as they were going, he seemed to go on further. He was giving them the opportunity to constrain. And so it should be with us. In connection with Christ, if it seems, and there's a great deal to resemble Christ going on and leaving us behind in the providence that we experience in our generation. These two, when they had reached their home at Emmaus, they said to the Savior, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And would it not be good for us if the Lord would give us the grace? And when I say that, you see, we're not to wait until we think we have suitable grace. That's false, to think in that way. But still, we are to be dependent on God's blessing. If we're going to plead appropriately for the cause of Christ and to feel from the low state of religion and the few that are being converted, to feel that Christ is going on his way, so to speak, we are to say, "Abide with us." The darkness of evening seems to be falling on the generation increasingly. And we're to say, "Abide with us." And just as Jacob rested and did not give up, it's not once we are to say, "Abide with us." We're to persevere. We're to be important. That the Lord would have mercy upon us, that he would have mercy upon the generation, that he would have mercy upon his own cause, and in particular, his cause connected with ourselves, in particular, again, this congregation. There's Jake, and he had this: "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And it would it not be good for us to have that spirit, even to be seeking grace, to act in that way, to be pleading earnestly. "I will not let thee go unless thou except thou bless us. I will not let thee go except thou bless the cause in this generation. I will not let thee go unless thou wilt bless this congregation." Whatever way we look at things, "I will not let thee go." For Jesus' sake, of course, "I will not let thee go." When things are so dark, it would be natural to despair. When so few are being converted, it would be natural to despair. But it wouldn't be a spiritual reaction. It wouldn't be a believing reaction. Oh, Jake might have had all kinds of thoughts about ease. But you see, once he met the mediator, he could say this: "I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I will not let thee go." There's a remarkable verse in Isaiah 45. "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, the Maker of Israel, ask me of things to come concerning my sons." Now that's, you see, a very free invitation for us to be asking. A very free invitation for us to be asking for great things, for great blessings, whichever way you apply it at any particular time. Ask, but I'm not finished. The verse has more to say, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. There's something tremendously wonderful about that word command in that context. That in a sense, we may command God. Now, of course, it's by his permission. But you see, it corresponds with Jacob's earnestness, with the earnestness that Jacob was given. Yes. And there's a sense in which we, in our asking, may command God. Of course, we're to be submissive to his will. Of course, we're to recognize that we are but limited creatures coming before the infinite, almighty God. But still, these are his own words. And they're no doubt intended to encourage those who might hold off from the earnestness that God is putting into their setting before them, the earnestness that they are free to use with God in connection with what he does, in connection the works, in connection with the works of his hands, and especially the spiritual activity of God in this world, what he is doing in connection with his church, the work of his hands in connection with bringing sinners into his kingdom, the work of his hands in connection with growth and grace, the work of his hands to take it from the individual level to the collective level in blessing his church. Yes. Well, here was Jacob. And these words are an infinite mercy left on record so that we might use them. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. May the Lord bless his word to us.